couple of people help me with the communion. Know if you've noticed, but we're in very perilous times right now. Very perilous times. And the devil is still lashing out, and he's trying to create as much havoc as he possibly can. He knows his time is up. And he uses our government to try to take us out. Have you noticed that? The United States government is not your friend. Okay. Now they're every year since I can remember, they've always had some new calamity they've promoted and tried to get us to get hysterical about, you know, and when I was a little kid, it was sleeping sickness, and it just went on up to, you know, remember acid rain? Acid rain was one of them. Ice age was one of them. Everything. And then they come up with West Nile, and then they came up with the COVID. And people run to get inoculated for this stuff. These vaccines are one of the ways that they harm people. They got a new one that they're promoting. They're getting ramped up for the smallpox, monkeypox. I'm going to just tell you right off, do not go get the vaccine for this. I just read the side effects of the vaccine. It's a live virus. And when you get vaccinated for it, you're supposed to quarantine for 30 days. That means not have any contact with anybody because this is alive. And it goes on to the next person. And it really harms them. This is a dangerous, dangerous thing that the devil is promoting. And people are going to fall for it. I'm going to do my job and tell people about the dangers of the devil and what he's up to. Do not do this. We need to run to Jesus and cling to him as hard as we can. He gave us the communion. We take this bread. We understand that this is the perfect, sinless body of Jesus that was beaten and bruised for us. And he took stripes on his back for our healing. And his body was pierced and he shed blood. And we get redemption in each area of that. And this bread, you'll notice, is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. So if we've made mistakes, we know that we can run to him and he can take care of that. So we're taking in this broken body of Jesus for our healing, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus is so perfectly without sin that it never died. It's still alive and it's still doing what God sent it to do. In fact, in 1 John 1:7, it tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of that blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And he continually washes us away. You're forever in right standing with Him because of the blood of Jesus. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 13. You know, we're on the wake of a really big revival. And we're also right on the edge of a major religious collapse. Doesn't make sense, does it? It makes perfect sense when you understand that the religious world has been infiltrated by Satan. The old norms and the old traditions are going to get squashed. In fact, Jesus said that in the book of Revelation, He was going to remove those Jews that weren't Jews. Also, just above that, just a little bit before that, He said He's going to remove those people that call themselves Christians that aren't Christians. Have you noticed that there's a lot of churchgoers that are not Christians? If you haven't, then you need to wash out your eyes. There's a whole bunch of them. There are whole groups of people. They're trying to do the right thing and they go to church and they never, ever, ever, ever hear the gospel. They never hear the word salvation. They don't get a chance to be born again. Now, Jesus talked about this in this parable. In Matthew 13, verse 24, another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the house, the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and become a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spoke He unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, there's a lot there, and you may not understand it, unless you break it down individually. See, the Bible tells us the sower sows the word, and we're the sowers. You know, He gives us the word to sow. So we sow the word out there, And some of it falls on good ground and people get born again. You know, sometimes you sow word into somebody and it seems like it bounces off their forehead. You know, it's almost like there's a shield there, and there is. And then sometimes you'll sow the word, and a lot of the church, almost every one of us, struggles with this. The preacher will say something to you in church, and it'll strike a chord with you so much that you'll underline it in your Bible. You should. If you have a Bible that is so holy that you can't write in it, go put it in a glass case. Go buy you one that you can write in. And use that one to go to church and take notes in. Your Bible should look like a coloring book. But here's the thing. He struck that chord in our hearts to get us to underline that so we wouldn't lose it. Now, sometimes the cares of life and the busyness of life and the things, you know, that we're involved in, you know, we'll underline that verse in the Bible, and then we'll go home, and roast is almost done, so it'll be time to eat lunch. And then it'll be time to watch football. And then it'll be time to go to bed. And then you get up Monday and go to work, and you go through the week trying to survive. What happened? We didn't manage to get back to look at that verse that he told us to look at. He told us to do that for a reason. See, we're seldomly going to get a revelation of what something means by one glance at it. And it's going to take some meditation on our part. It's going to take some time of looking at that verse and meditating on that verse and going over that verse and tearing that verse apart and looking at it from every direction we can and thinking about it and meditating about it and praying about it and asking the Holy Spirit to help us with it. And then pretty soon, while we're eating over a plate of Mexican food, it'll drop in our hearts. We've got a revelation of it. That's just kind of a curious way that it works. Glenn Smith said one time, you should go back every once in a while and read the things that you have underlined in your Bible. He had you underline it for a reason. Because it's important, and he wants you to know it, and he wants you to get a revelation of it. He wants you to see it. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to make it a part of your life. In fact, he wants you to find yourself in that verse. Now let's go back here for a little bit and look at some of these things we just looked at. He came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. See, when Jesus came here and he released the gospel to us, it was absolutely perfect. And actually, when Peter came out of the upper room and preached his first sermon, thousands of people got born again. Isn't that amazing? Your very first sermon, and thousands of people get born again. That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? In fact, it'd be pretty cool to just get thousands of people born again. Much less in one sermon. You know. But maybe we're not called to preach to thousands. Well, we are called to be witnesses unto Christ and go into all the world and preach the gospel. It may be one person at a time. That's okay. You did your part. You sowed the word of God. And you're sowing good seed. Now somehow, we ended up with tares. So you can go into some churches and you can find a mixture of people. Some of them are born again. Some of them aren't. Some of them may be members of cults. Some of them may have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, There's all kinds of different people in a lot of different buildings. But just know this, that not all people that go to church on Sunday morning are born again. Those are tares. And then some of those end up being pastors. That's a weed. You know, Glenn went to a pastor's conference and preached at this pastor's conference. And got 30 of them born again. See how mixed up the church world is? Now you can understand why there's going to be a religious collapse. There's going to be a religious collapse, but there's going to be a great revival. There's going to be people look up and say, this is not right. I've been a member of this church for 50 years, but this is not right. And they'll step away. Some of them will look up and say, you know what? My mama went to church here. My grandma went to church here. My great-grandma went to church here. By God, I'm going to go to church here. I don't care what anybody says. This is right. That's not a good thing. We need to look unto Jesus. You know, I believe when Jesus finally gets this thing cleared up, there's not going to be any Baptists. There's not going to be any Methodists. There's not going to be any non-denominationals. There's not going to be any cowboy churches. There's not going to be any this. There's not going to be any of that. There's going to be a body of Christ. And He's going to bring us all together in the unity of the faith, and we're going to drop all this nonsense, and we're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? But there's going to be a little bit of a rough road along the way. See, He did say this. Go down here to verse 29. Well, you know, they asked Him, should we go gather the tares up? And He said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. So we've been kind of living with that for a long time. You know, there's been people, you know, in different groups that weren't born again, but they existed with us. He didn't just pull them up. But He is. In verse 30, He said, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Right there, now He's talking about a separation. And it's going to happen. He's going to separate the tares from the wheat. Our job is to get the tares born again before that separation happens. And we know who the tares are. We know there's a lot of people that need to be born again. Our job is to witness to those before that separation happens. And it's going to happen. It's not going to be a pretty thing. But it is going to happen, and it has to happen. You know, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12, let's turn over there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Verse 17 says, did I do that right? Now, we'll just stop with that. He's going to clean, he's going to purge his floor. He's going to burn the chaff up. It's not going to be a pretty sight. See, there is a great white throne judgment. You don't qualify for it. So you need to relax. You're not going to the great white throne judgment. If you're born again, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're to believe on Him. If you leave this earth before you get born again, you're going to the great white throne judgment. And then, when He says, your name has been blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to the lake of fire. See, this is kind of that fire and brimstone preaching. But this is the truth of the Word of God. And people need to know that hell is just as real as heaven. See, people like to believe in the reality of heaven, that everything's going to be good when they leave this earth. And it will be if they're born again. If they're not born again, it's not going to be so good. And people like to have this idea that if they die, they just stop existing. Your body may perish. Your spirit will live forever, whether you get born again or not. That's why it's so important to get born again. Because when you leave this earth, you're changing addresses. And whatever decision you made for Jesus one way or the other on this earth is going to determine your new address. And if you decided not to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, your address is not going to be a good place. And you're going to be eternally cut off from God with no chance of repentance. And nobody's going to be able to pray you out of purgatory because it's not there. You're either alive unto Christ, or you're not. Now, let's go on to the next parable here. Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You know, when I got born again, I was living from hand to mouth. I mean, it was not pretty. But I got born again. And, I mean, literally was just surviving. And so to ask me to help somebody was like, you've got to be kidding me. I didn't have it. It was a little seed that God planted. There was a little tiny seed. And it took a while to grow. And then pretty soon I found myself helping people. I thought that was kind of a novel idea. And then pretty soon it got where helping people was the norm. Only God could do that. He took a tree and planted it by the rivers of living water. And that's what He wants everybody to be like, a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that springs forth fruit in its season, and the drought doesn't hurt it. He wants you to be able to make those branches grow over into your neighbor's yard so they can eat some of the fruit. You know, another thing about big trees is they have shade. People can take comfort in shade. You can be somebody's comfort. It's just perplexing to me at the amount of people that don't seem to understand the seriousness of the situation that we are actually in right now. They're comfortable in their own home and their own lifestyle. But they have little to no concern about them, they, and those. You know, the people out there that are not prepared. You know, there's come a time, because also along with this religious collapse that we're looking at, we're also looking at a financial collapse. You know, this country could be reduced to a trade and barter system that fast. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have nothing to trade and barter with. And God did not tell us to sit back in our easy chair and say, well, they should have just been better prepared. No, that is not what he said. We need to be a harbor for the lost to come and find shelter. See, then they can get born again. I've noticed something. When you help somebody, they start asking questions about God. Some of them don't. Some of them are just rats. But some of them do. But see, a little bit of food, a little bit of help, a little bit of clothing kind of gives you an open door to talk to somebody and pray for them. You know, they might just take that seed and let it grow. And maybe not. He blesses us with so many spiritual blessings. So many financial blessings, so many physical blessings. And he doesn't just tell us to just stash them up for ourselves, so spread them out there. You know, Jesus fed multitudes. Well, that's Jesus, I know. And he told us to copycat him, be followers of Christ. You know, you don't have to feed thousands. You can feed one or two. Help them out for a little bit. That's okay. You can buy a coat for somebody. It's just helping people. You know, we're really close to going into a really, really good time. But you need to know that there's going to be a very rough road getting to that good time. We're almost there. I'm not really big on giving dates, but I know we're close. We're close. And I believe that we're really, really close to celebrating our very first Jubilee. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be fun. It's going to be even better than you can imagine. You know, for some reason, America is the only place that believes that life should be hard. You're supposed to grind it out for 40 hours a week, bare minimum, for 30 or 40 years, and then retire and live on a little bit. You know, America is the only place on this earth that believes in that philosophy. The Bible does say work hard, but it doesn't say anything about working yourself into the ground. It just doesn't. Now, let's get to the next parable here, because this is in the churches. A lot of the trouble, why we're in such a religious mess in this world. And this is one of the reasons that I just cannot stand organized religion. I love relationship with Christ. I love Jesus, because he loves me first. I love helping people have a relationship and fellowship with Jesus. The religious nonsense I could deal without. And it's a bunch of nonsense. there's just a bunch of junk that we've been fed for a long time that is not true. Verse 33 says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That word leaven needs to strike your curiosity, because it's a big word. In fact, Jesus warned his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, that beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious group. They were the religious order of the day. And now here we are in the same boat. You know, that word leaven is a symbol of evil influence that could rot and corrupt people spiritually, morally, and physically. Look at some of the traditions that some of these churches hold to, and the new traditions that they're picking up. Look at how they're changing. This is why some people are saying, no, that's not right, and they leave. See, they came up with the idea that it'd be okay to have gay pastors. They didn't get that idea from God. The woke mentality is a completely evil standard. And there's some churches that are clinging to this woke mentality. It irritates me when I see pastors involved in this nonsense. You know, I went to they were having some kind of a thing, and they wanted me to come help them in some kind of protest, and they wanted us to have signs, you know, and it was for pro-life. And so there was 6 or 7 of us standing in front of this courthouse with signs promoting pro-life. And then there was a river of pink hats come walking down there against pro-life. And one of them, oh, there were 2 pastors, a pastor and his wife, in this pink hat parade. And I thought, are you kidding me? They didn't get that idea from God. It is never okay to abort babies. It's just not. It's called murder. And actually, it's a sacrifice to Baal. It's wrong. Gay marriage is wrong. It's just wrong. Now look, I love a lot of gay people. I love them all the way. But I don't agree with their lifestyle. They do have freedom in this country to live their life the way they want to live their life, as long as it doesn't hurt me or somebody else. That's their business. I mean, it's their choice. They have that freedom of choice. I'm not going to go hate on them because they made that choice. But it's not going to happen that I'm not going to support that choice to run rampant in a church. See, Jesus said that the traditions of your forefathers have made the word of God to none effect. He was telling this to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious people. He said, look, these traditions that you picked up have made the word of God none effect. I mean, it was just useless. They couldn't get anything done. Now all of a sudden we find a whole bunch of churches that have picked up different traditions. See, different ideas. You know, they say, well, we'll let this group kind of do what they want to do in the church. But we don't want to lose the numbers. I'm telling you, money in the church body, the way the government, the church government is set up, because it's so attached to the Babylonian system, has become a complete evil standard. We don't want to lose their tithes. So it'll be okay to have gay marriage in there. We don't want to lose their tithes. So it'll be okay to have, this one really blew my mind, 50 pastors go down and bless Planned Parenthood. Why don't they just go pour anointing oil on Satan's head and call it a day? See, we really are heading in to a religious crisis, a financial crisis, but we're heading into a time of true liberality, freedom. We're going to be liberated. You may say right now that we've been taken out of Egypt and we're going through the Red Sea right now. It's not looking so good, but when we get to the other side and when we cross that River Jordan, get into the Promised Land, it's going to be really, really good. It's not going to be comfortable. Some of your friends are not going to make it. Some of your family is not going to make it. Some religious institutions that this world has held in high esteem are going to be burnt to a crisp. The amount of pedophilia that has infiltrated the church world is completely, it's bigger than you can even imagine. And it's not just one denomination. It's a whole bunch of them. The amount of evil that has been fostered in the church groups is absolutely amazing. And I'm not talking just a little bit of bad people. I'm talking about some pure evil people that are held in high regards in the churches and the community. And they hide themselves. They do good things. And then people say, well, look at the good things they do. The Masons always tell me, look at the good things they do. Yeah, you want to see the evil things they do? And I tell them, is there anybody in here, I told you to do this, have you looked up the Act of 1871? How poison is that? Did it make you just a little bit mad? It really ripped me. We've been had. But Jesus is setting us free. We're just going to have to stand strong. We're going to have to be innocent as doves and wise as serpents for a little while. You're going to have to be just a little bit smart. You're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to really, really pay attention in this last time. Because there's some people that you think are your friends that are really not your friends. There's some people you think that are there to help you that are not there to help you at all. You're going to have to learn discernment. You're going to have to pay attention to who these people are, what they're doing, and why they're doing it. Some people are doing things that look good because they think that they're doing good, but they're actually causing you more harm than what they know. And even after the fact, when it's proven that they did, they won't admit it. I had a man tell me one time, we should not be doing the National Day of Prayer during the COVID. Said we need to be quarantining and staying away and not getting in groups, not getting in packs. We need to stay away. So he would not participate in the National Day of Prayer. The very next weekend, he was in a BLM march in Alpine. And what happened to the isolation and the quarantining and the staying away from people and not getting in groups? What happened to that? So I separated. And this church as a body is going to separate from another group that has thoroughly dug their feet in the sand and said, no, we're staying with this woke ideology. I believe in churches coming together, but we're not going to come together with a church that will not follow Christ. So we're done participating with the Methodist Church. See, Jesus is separating the tares from the wheat. Right now, as we speak, we don't need to be mixed up in that mess. Amen. I don't care if they don't like me or not. I've made it 56 years without that. I believe I'll make it another 64 without them. My calculator is not all that fast. He gave us 120 years. If I cooperate with that a little better, might make it. Then I don't know. I got to do some study, and I got to find out about another group of people. He said, I was told that they picked up the pronouns. You know, they're addressing people as they and those instead of he and she. And if that's true, then we're going to separate from that group of people. I don't care if it's popular or not. They're going to follow Christ and not support the devil, or we're not going to be hooked with them. I don't care how popular they are. We're not going to do that. We need to draw a line in the sand. We're staying with Jesus. We're not going to follow this other nonsense. We're not going to get involved in it. We're not going to be a party to it. We're not going to agree to it. We're going to stay away from it, and that's it. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, there's one thing since we talked about this, since there is a heaven and hell, and if you're not born again, you need to get that way or you will go to hell. And there's people that watch these videos all the time. So you guys are born again. You've all been through this. But there's some people that watch. You know, I was surprised at all the people from Florida to California to from Texas to Montana and Wyoming, South Dakota, all over the place that watch these videos that Pete puts on our site. They're all over the place. I don't know who's watching them. I don't know how to keep track of how many people are watching them, but I have people call me from all over the place every once in a while and say, yeah, I watch your videos. And I thought, who are you? You know what I mean? Thank you. I mean, I'm glad they're being of use, but I don't know. So somebody watching that may not be born again needs to get that way. We're going to give you a chance to do that right now. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus back to life, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. And then you can invite Jesus into your heart with this prayer. Just bow your head and close your eyes. We bow our head out of respect to God, out of reverence to God, and we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbor. Just say this out of your mouth so that your ears can hear it. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, be my Savior. Cleanse me of all my sins. I believe that God raised you back to life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. This day, I confess you, Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Praise God. If you just said that for the first time, you are born again. I encourage you to get a Bible and read that New Testament as often as you can. Plug into a good Bible teaching church so you can sit under the word of faith and learn how to operate in this kingdom the way God desires you to do that. You're now a child of God. Enjoy life. Amen. Amen.